Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, September the 4th, 248th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. Tennies, huh?
That way I can get around my district quicker.
Oh, you think that's going to help you out?
Probably not.
I didn't think so.
My pickup moves pretty good, though.
Yeah.
It covered a lot of it this weekend. So.
Oh, I would imagine with Labor Day and all that activity.
Yeah, great picnic out at Petrolia, out at the Matole Grange.
Just any picnic is a good one that you're not having a barbecue.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
That's what I thought. This after what? Now, you wanted to talk about something today. I don't know what it is.
No, I just, whatever.
Whatever leaps to my
piques
mind.
Your fan.
Oh boy! Well, stay tuned. You think your truck was a bumpy ride? Just hang in there for just a moment or two. We'll find out how bumpy this is when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say; it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. But before we do, our quote this afternoon in 48-point print.
I'm going to do the quote today out of respect to our neighbors to the northeast, Siskiyou County, brought to us from our good friend Thomas Jefferson. I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and as necessary in the political world.
So, steal my thunder, huh?
Stole your thunder. I like that quote. That's out of respect to the people in Siskiyou County.
How big a deal is that?
You know, I had somebody call me today and says, you wouldn't consider that, would you? And I says, we consider stranger things, I think. But no, reality would have to set in. But, you know, it's kind of funny when you look, you can buy the hat. You can buy a State of Jefferson hat in Crescent City. It's got two X's on it, and that's for the double cross that they believe that Oregon and California did to them, because there was actually going to be a State of Jefferson. You know, they just... Back in the 1800s, in 1941,
it fired Jackson.
It's got Curry Jackson. There's like six, four Oregon, and then we had Modoc, Siskiyou, Trinity. It goes all the way down to Butte, Mendocino. I was looking at the map today because it seemed to be a big point of interest and a lot of phone calls on it today. And the Board of Supervisors, to fill everybody in, and Siskiyou County voted 4-1 in favor of seceding from the state of California. I mean, they've got a long ways to go, but it does shoot a proverbial cannonball over the bow.
Oh, I was curious what analogy you were going to use there, yeah. Considering, in light of recent days and analogies that have been used.
Yes.
Certainly there's a frustration level with the state of California. And I think that's got to be at the root of all of this. Is there any way, not that you're the aged, wise, old graybeard of the county, which you do qualify in a couple of those regards, to get people's attention in Sacramento?
I think this may have done it to a certain extent, because they make the point that, you know, there are 58 counties, granted, and Siskiyou is the fifth largest county in California geographically. I mean, I think 6,300 square miles. I mean, we're a big county, and we're only at, I think, 4,200 square miles. So, I mean, they're a good third bigger than us, or, you know, 50% bigger than us, actually. And then, but population wise, they're like 42,000. And I think they get really frustrated. I think I talked to a guy today, he says, you know, we haven't seen the last two governors up here. And I understand they have not been to Siskiyou County.
Well, when was the last time the U.S. senator was in town here?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
it's the same basically anything north of the Santa Rosa, Chico, Sacramento is blown off, and give us your water and don't cut anything.
Well, and the big mantra is 16% of the state is rural, and 16% doesn't get you elected. So, I mean, that's, you know, they tend to stay where, you know, where they can make a difference. And it's not that they don't forget us. I think we're fairly fortunate up here that our state officials and our congressmen, we've got pretty good representatives up here. But you still have the issue that's not who we elected. That's who they hired. And so that is always in the back of people's mind. I would like to talk, and we're in a state with 40 million people. We just don't, you know, but.
Well, and even if it's not Siskiyou County residents, Humboldt County residents, Del Norte County residents, Trinity County, we're still in a boat that's sinking rather quickly. And I would think as we look at government waste, and it still is there, you know, if everything were possible, I'm sure we could find another 10% in any governmental unit. Now, we're probably not, you know, it would cross lines like of labor contracts and things like that that aren't realistic, but that there's still a perception that there's a lot of money going to Sacramento, and they don't seem to have any concern with spending it all, plus a little bit more for good measure.
And I think to a certain extent you're right, because it doesn't seem like a lot of these issues that are faced, you know, in the urban areas, the large urban areas, seem to bother us as much. I mean, we have to live by the air quality standards that are given to us because of the LA, you know, Bay Area basins that have a lot of that, those efforts down there, and we have to deal with Siskiyou County. One of their things was a judge out of LA was deciding their water rights and the dams and everything else, and they felt they had more of a say-so in their water rights because it affects them so much, and they felt like that they had just been passed over. I mean, basically, we have a judge in Fresno deciding the Trinity River water for, you know, coming into the Trinity, coming out the Klamath. So, I mean, both, you know, Trinity, Humboldt, Del Norte, we're all affected by that, and we're sitting there going, geez, where's the local interest? I mean, the local influence, you know, where,
well, we've got
the
federal
us.
District Court also that really seems to be, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of the jurisprudence stuff, but I think there's a general frustration with the cost and some of the goofy laws that are in place that really are, they pertain to the southern part of the state, maybe, but not to our part of the state. Yeah. And getting wrapped up into that whole thing. And it's not that Oregon is a panacea, certainly, but they do seem to be more dialed in with some of the environmental laws and development laws throughout their region.
And I think they have their own, you know, sets of problems. It may be a lot different from ours, but I think they have their own sets of problems they have to deal with. I don't think I would trade living in Humboldt County to live in those urban areas, though.
We'll be back. KINS News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, the concept of the state of Jefferson has been appealing for a lot of us for decades. I mean, I think, for me at least, the base of it isn't a financial one. It's more of a cultural one. We have more in common with Southern Oregon than we have anything to do with Santa Rosa, Sacramento, guys down south, other than the fact that they have hijacked the water. You know, it's our water that they're using. That's the one thing we have in common. Other than that, there really isn't a whole lot. So when we get the regulators coming in, whether it's the Coastal Commission applying rules and regulations here that really have their source in Santa Barbara, it makes no sense. I mean, we see what Oregon is doing, and they're not having problems that are being used as the ugly image with some of the stuff. Air quality. What do we have to do in common with L.A. and with San Francisco? Aren't we more of Coos Bay and Newport? Okay, culturally, the Indian tribes, you know, all
we're
that stuff.
A lot like Grants Pass and Medford.
Yeah, that's us, not down south. So while I know there's some thoughts that it's one reason or another, I would think culturally the state of Jefferson concept makes sense. Financially, that's a whole different ballgame, and you have to run the numbers and see if we would be like a Wyoming or something like that. But I don't know. Is there any chance that this thing's going to get traction?
I think I'm going to wait and see on that. I think it's there's enough frustration out there where I'm sure it'll get traction. I mean, you had 100 people in a meeting in Siskiyou that were completely in favor, and they've been talking about it up there for about a month. If you follow it, they've had little editorials and things like that. Again, that's a county that's 65% Republican, I think. I don't think they've voted for a Democrat since Lyndon Johnson, I think I saw. So, I mean, so that I'm sure that plays into it a little bit. But the frustration factor doesn't. I mean, they're upset. You're right. You know, the other kicker that has really got a lot of the rural counties, and water affects us all. Some of us, maybe it doesn't affect you and I because we turn our tap on and it goes. We're not trying to irrigate, you know, 640 acres of alfalfa or corn to feed our cattle or anything like that. So the water, we hear the water, we want the water, we want the water for the fish, you know, we've got all those things born into us. But rurally, the one thing that's really has got everybody, I'd say, as upset as anything else, is the fire fee. The SRA fire fee of $135 a year that doesn't go, it goes into education, and it goes into, and it's tied up in a lawsuit and has actually been upheld and now has gone into the next level of lawsuits. So there might be some relief, but I mean, it was a revenue to make close to $90 million. I think the State Board of Equalization got something like $15 or $16 million to hire extra staff to process and bill. So I think what that did, and for us, we've got 41 fire departments in Humboldt County, 37 which are volunteer. Those 37 volunteer, they are the first responders in our car accidents, everything else. But the thing that hurts them the most is between pie sales, bake sales, fundraisers, and everything else, these people see this $135 fee, and they think, well, I can't pay this and support my local volunteer fire department because I'm on a limited budget. And so that gets to be quite a problem for our local fire departments. And I think that's been probably one of the biggest issues I've faced over the last year.
Or invert it, even.
Yes.
$150. Oh, it's going to support my local volunteer fire department.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Well, yeah. And that's some people think that aren't, you know, and it just, it's really upsetting. And these guys operate on such a limited budget, and they just amaze me. I've got quite a few in my district, and Estelle's got quite a few. We all have some. And the efforts that they put forth, and like I said, volunteers. I mean, and I was a volunteer fireman, you know, 30 years ago, and pretty easy gig back then. We got together once a month or twice a month and went down to the shanty afterwards and talked about, you know,
fire-related
stuff. I mean, these guys are averaging close to, I heard something like 250 hours of training a year. I was just at a penny.
That's the standard that
for the new guys, I think it drops down to 180 for the guys after they've gone through their initiation and stuff. I think that, I can't be quoted on that, but I went to a pinning situation of ceremony at the Fortuna Fire Department the other night with some new guys that had just gone through their training and stuff. And it was a big deal. But, I mean, you've got guys that have been doing this 25, you know, 30 years. That, you know, Ernie Branscombe I saw just retired from the Redway Volunteer Fire Department. There's a lot of good guys retiring. Ferndale's got a fantastic volunteer fire department down there, and some of those guys have been doing it for years, the Del Biagio brothers. I mean, they take turns being chief and things like that. But I mean, it's a big deal. And I mean, they were getting responses from the fair. There was a fire one day right after fair, and it amazed me how many guys were able to respond to it at the, you know, busy time, would, you know, a social time for them, or so much.
So as you're looking at all the things, do you think the SRA fee was the trigger, or was it the tipping point?
I think it was a tipping point. I mean, I think the water rights up there, especially for Siskiyou, and the fire fee, so many things just we're paying for so many things, and a lot of people are paying the SRF fee, and they're already in a fire district, so they're paying that fee also. And that's the, I mean, there's people out in Cutting on one side of Walnut, they got an SRA fee, on the other side they don't.
We had the initial one in the middle of Eureka.
Really?
Yeah. This is gutsy.
Yeah.
We got pulled back in about a week.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know. But I think that's probably symptomatic of the frustration people have with Sacramento. And if we have a chance to blow it up, perhaps it's worth investigating.
You know, and Tom Hines, who's now taken over for Cal Fire, we had meetings out at Petrolia. We had meetings, and he showed up at every one to explain to people what was going on.
It's 3:30.
It's sale time at Vern's Furniture. Get 36-month interest-free financing on approved credit on mattresses. That's right. Take your time and get a great night's sleep on Vern's huge mattress selection with the brands you're looking for. And this weekend, time to buy your new living room furniture with sofas starting at just $399.95. We'll see you at Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, it's been a little while since we've heard discussions about, and I don't know if it's a park, if it's a forest, if it's Greenbelt, I don't know what it's called. But let's just say the place between the city of Eureka, city boundary, and Redwood Acres. There's a property space that's there that Green Diamond and their previous incantations have owned for a long time that are interested in no longer having.
Well,
and for whatever reason, whether it's because it's been logged over or it's not worth logging or it's a pain, it's a hassle, it's a liability, whatever, they're looking to get out, and there's been some discussions about donating that property to the county and in kind of a group.
Green Diamond is actually selling the property to the Trust for Public Lands, and then they are going to give it or donate it to the county.
Who is Trust for Public Lands?
They're a conservancy group out of San Francisco. They're like any of these conservancy groups that buy properties and then to hold them in perpetuity. So nobody builds on them. We will still be able to use it, do sustainable logging and things like that, but it will never be built on.
So
we lose our development rights on this land. Okay. They're giving up their development rights.
So no roads, no bypass for Eureka through that area
That is in negotiations right now. That's one of the things. That is the last bastion for Cutting to have a road out of Cutting. There's nowhere else to go. I mean, you can't.
It's not just Cutting, man.
I don't
anymore.
No. Yeah, I don't think you could run it out through Lombard Hills because you got a single small road that drops onto F Street or Fairway Drive, and that's not feasible to run that through. So, in all honesty, coming out through there and coming out somewhere on Harris gives it another avenue to go out. So, what we are doing now is actually doing road studies. Public Works has contracted out to do some more road studies and see what the feasibility is of putting a road in. I mean, it's Elk River's been improved, so that takes a lot of some of the burden off Campton, and then you've got the interchange at Walnut and Hemlock, which becomes a little bit of a bottleneck. But since they've made the improvements there, it's not as much of a bottleneck, but it is a problem at 8 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock. It can get pretty dicey, and I'm out there quite a bit. I ride my bike out there every day and stuff like that. So those are things we have to look at.
Well, and having relieving. The school and the and two elementary, one junior high, two elementary schools,
exactly right,
and the zoo. I would think shutting off as much traffic as possible for safety would be the biggest thing, and we see that with Harrison. Versus
yeah.
S Street.
Yeah.
So it would seem to me rather short-sighted not to include that.
That is probably
as part of the whole big deal.
That is becoming probably the biggest issue in it. And that's one of the things we are going to come forward and look at a good possible road, a source that we can divert some of the traffic. Because there is a development planned for around Redwood Fields. I mean,
Well, and you got the big one out by Ridgecrest also that is theoretical.
It's theoretical.
But it still could happen. You're going to have a lot more cars.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think we'll see anything of that size, that grandiose that they re, 300,000 foot of retail and 1,500 homes. I just don't see. I had a hard time. I walked door to door out there, and I had a hard time finding anybody. It wasn't just NIMBYs. It was a lot of people not on my planet. You know, they thought it was just too much for that rural. I mean, that's a, and 1,500 homes. I mean, I love the concept. Somebody said one time that Lombard Hills was started in 1960, and I think they were planning on 310 homes, and I think they have like 270, 50-some-odd years later. So, I mean,
we need a little employment base to come in for that.
You're exactly right. But you're right. We have to do something about the traffic issues out there, and it's just, and I'll tell you what, they've been talking about it for 25 years, 30 years. My dad owned a grocery store on Hodgson Street there, and I mean, I can remember hearing traffic issues back then. You know, but when they opened Winship up, and now they've reopened Winship back up very successfully, and I've been out there a few times in the height of it, and it seems to be working rather well. But it is a rather busy little stretch of, you know, half mile right there that we have a lot of kids walking, biking, and a lot of traffic.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then you mentioned one of the shunts off Campton, which really isn't passable for a good chunk of the time, whether it's due to ice conditions, flooding, not as much now as it used to be, but you got a couple, you got Grand Elementary School there.
You've got an elementary.
Every way that is in existence currently is not a major thoroughfare.
It seems like every thoroughfare we have to get anywhere goes by an elementary school. It just bothers the heck out of me, too. I mean, Grant, I mean, then you've got the intersection Oak and F that's become such a major, you know, F Street going to Fairway. That's become a
challenge, I think, is the word we want to use. That
I've heard other words used.
Yeah. So if you're looking at the potential.
But we're live.
yeah. With a road going through, I would imagine it would then expand Hubbard into a larger and connect into Myrtle, which is at least a three lane rather than a two lane.
Yeah, and it's
but
done
Myrtle
that.
Gets jammed up now too.
Yeah, I mean we've got a situation, and I don't see any extreme growth, but there is going to be growth. I mean, there's going to be houses built. We know that. You know, hopefully there's going to be more.
We've got
houses
a lot more
built.
Traffic going on.
It does seem. I mean, and I know people don't want to hear this, but we're not Santa Rosa yet or anything else like that. We tend to work with our traffic problem pretty well, but you're exactly right. We can't put a whole much more of housing out there without at least giving them an opportunity to look at another avenue out of Cutton.
I know this is kind of stepping into other guys' territory, but does it make sense to have Walnut tied into whatever this is, Bone Way?
Yeah.
It had to be confused with Kurds and Way.
Really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tie into Hubbard, tie into Myrtle, because it's all county. You know, having the city county thing on Harrison really, I think, is probably complicated life beyond measure. The fact that this would all be county, would that help to make this flow a little bit easier, occur a little bit easier, because it's all within county jurisdiction?
Yeah, I mean, they tried, you know, they had a lot of collaboration on Harrison with the new Safeway store. And that's been a challenge. And they've made some changes. Safeway made some changes, and it seems to be better. Because they're coming out onto Harrison. They weren't going to have that before. Now that's become an ingress-egress. They did do a turn lane going into Safeway. They didn't, at first time they went and looked at it, somebody says, come back at 4:30, and they saw people sit through two lights and go, okay, we have to, so, and they put in a turn lane. But, I mean, best laid plans, I mean, everything has to adjust to a best laid plan. And they did make the necessary adjustments. Safeway and their traffic engineer and stuff came up, they agreed to the changes, and they did it. It seems to be easier to get in and out of there. So that was a collaboration that did work. City-county collaboration on the McKay Forest has been going along really well. So that seems to work real well, and it's going to have to. There's because if the park does go through, it's a huge benefit to the people of Eureka to have a community forest of that size, and for the community of Cutton and that area, and all of Humboldt County, because we will now have 1,000 acres of hiking, equestrian trails, biking trails. Nothing like a motocross track, but I'm not going to stop working on that either. I think that that has, still has a viable interest, and I have
just heard
otherwise.
A real loud groan from a certain part of Myrtletown. KINS, News and Information Times, 345. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
I thought it was coming more from Leon's mouth.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:48. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, the concept of the park forests, are there still viable concerns that are being expressed by members of the community about the entire project?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's is there timber on there? Is there sustainable timber to pay for it if you're going to, you know, systematically log it, log it on a low impact basis? Looking at the growth rates and everything else, and I can personally say I've hiked the whole thing a couple times. I've been back there. I've hiked it once, and I've probably been back there on the four wheeler a couple times. But you don't want to go out and buy a new car if you can't pay for the insurance or put gas in it. I mean, it's, you know, one of the things that youth do. They buy something they can't afford, and then, you know, or rent an apartment, but I can't pay for the lights type thing. And so we are doing a full financial. You know, we're doing a full cruise of the timber. We're doing our due diligence. One of the aspects is it's a fast moving target because of restrictions, land use restrictions, and some other factors coming in on tax laws and stuff that they'd like to close by the end of the year. So the city of Eureka has stepped up and has offered to go partners with us because it's a benefit to both the city and the county. And that's being looked at and probably going to be accepted. It because it is a win-win. As long as it's not going to, the last thing I want to do is put a park in and then have to lay off deputies. I can't do that. I mean, right now,
Is it a fixed sum game? I would think it is.
Yeah.
But if the timber harvesting pays for, maybe makes it a slight profit for some investment. Okay, then it's paying for itself. Thank you very much, and you have a couple extra rangers, and life is okay.
Well, we're very fortunate at the county because we probably have one of the smartest guys in the world when it comes to natural resources, and Hank Seaman, and he is vetting all our concerns right now, and we're very fortunate that he's heading this project up.
So, update in the future. Thanks for coming by.
That'd be great. Thanks for having me.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone else. See you tomorrow.